You have your Bibles, you will want to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, and then 2 Timothy 2, 2, which will kind of be the jumping off point. And I'm also going to be reading out of different passages this morning. For the next, five of the next 6 weeks, we have to take one Sunday when General Audio will be speaking to us for our 4th of July celebration. But we will be preaching through a series about the biblical discipline of Bible intake and the five components of that intake. And this is part of my doctorate of ministry. And so as you've wondered where I am in that doctorate, well, either I'm going to finish it or it's going to finish me in the next few months. And so I am grateful to God for our men who are going through a lot of this material in a much more intense way than I will be sharing it with you. But this will give you a flavor of the whole idea of disciplining yourself for godliness. And so I want to pray, and then we'll jump right into the text. Father and God, thank you for your word. Thank you for the grace that's been given to us that we may hear it this morning. Father, I pray you'll open up our ears to hear and our eyes to see and our hearts to receive in order that we may do and obey all that is there. Lord, we love you and thank you this morning for you, by your grace and for your glory that we ask these things. And together, God's people say, amen. I think it's interesting. I did not know this. Someone pointed it out after the first service. Well, it wasn't someone. It was my wife who was in her Sunday school area. And she said, you know what you preached on this morning? Did you even know that that's what we were studying in 1 Samuel chapter 3? And I said, no, I did not know that. It is amazing. I was telling Lee how God seems to make the Sunday school message and the message from the pulpit kind of dovetail together. So we want to read that little passage in Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now the boy Samuel served the Lord in Eli's presence. And in those days, the word of the Lord was rare, and prophetic visions were not widespread. And then Amos chapter 8, verse 11 says, hear this, days are coming. This is the declaration of the Lord. When I will send a famine through the land, not a famine of bread or a thirst for water, but for the hearing of the words of the Lord. And then you take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke, beginning in chapter 8. And reading verse 19, beginning there. Then his mother and brothers came to him, but they could not meet with him because of the crowd. He was told, your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you. But he replied to them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear and do the word of God. And then chapter 11. Guys, you want to throw that up on the screen behind me? Verses 27 and 28. Jesus says, and as he was saying these things, a woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, the womb that bore you and the one who nursed you are blessed. And he said, even more, those who hear the word of God and keep it are blessed. You get the impression from that simple little brief movement through the scriptures that the discipline of hearing the word of God is extremely important. The purpose of the spiritual discipline of Bible intake is so that the child of God will know God at a deeper and more intimate level than before. It's not a discipline so that you can know more facts about God. The whole idea of this discipline is not so you'll have more trivia to talk about in the Bible, though you will know more facts just simply because you're spending more time in the Word. But it is so that you might be transformed through the beauty of knowing God in His self-disclosure through His Word. In one sense, the easiest of these components is hearing the word. You say, well, all I've got to do is sit and hear. That's easy. Well, in another sense, like all things that seem easy, it's really one of the most difficult to truly master. Many perceive the hearing of the word of God as a passive reality. You sit and hear. In fact, it's a verb, and it's an active reality, and it's a discipline that has to be cultivated and learned in order for you to expend effort and dedication to become a hearer of the word of God, not just listening to the words of God. For the child of God, hearing God through his word is essential to the spiritual health and well-being of their Christian life. Dr. Donald Whitney said this. He said, no spiritual discipline is more important than the intake of God's word. Nothing can substitute for it. There is simply no healthy Christian life apart from the diet of the milk and meat of Scripture. Therefore, if we would know God and be godly, we must know the word of God intimately. The command to listen and obey the word of God is found throughout the Bible. Passages such as Deuteronomy 5, 1 and 6, 4, Psalm 81, 8 and 13, and Matthew 17, 5 vividly illustrate the spiritual reality that for the child of God, we must listen and obey God's word. Ken Ramey, discussing hearing the word, says, how well your life goes and ends up is determined by how well you listen to and obey the word of God. Why is this the case? Why is the word of God, hearing and doing the word of God, why is it so essential? Simply because God's character is inherent in his word. And whenever we are exposed to the word of God, we are in essence being exposed to God himself. As the great Princetonian theologian B.B. Warfield said, when the Bible speaks, God speaks. So if we would know God and live godly, we must be people intimately acquainted with the word of God. And this discipline begins with hearing the word. Hearing and moving from that passive state of just sitting and waiting for the preacher to try to wow you to that active state, to actively hearing and seeking to hear God speaking through the proclamation of the word of God week in and week out. Whether it's from the pulpit or from the lectern in the Sunday school or the discussion, but to know that God speaks through his word and that we need to learn to tune our spiritual ears into the reality of what God is saying. Now, I say all that by introduction to let you know that I understand some things. There are difficulties in doing this. But listen to what the Apostle Paul says to Timothy. In chapter 1 Timothy 1, verses 4 and 7, he says, have nothing to do with irreverent and silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. King James, I think, says discipline. The New King James, I think, says exercise. It really is the idea of the rigorous sacrificial training an athlete undergoes in order to be able to perform well. Notice he says that for that metaphor, for the training of the body has a limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way, since it holds the promise for the present life and for the life which is to come. Hearing the word of God is a matter of spiritual progress. It is a matter of actually moving forward with God. And listen to 2 Timothy 2:2. Notice the Apostle Paul speaking to his young minister says this. He says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and what you have heard from me. It's not that which was in private, and I'll show you that in a second. It's that which Timothy heard Paul proclaim publicly, because that's what he says, in the presence of many witnesses. So it's the idea of publicly, the idea of what he's heard in public that's been attested to in front of others. That which you've heard from me in the front of many witnesses. Look what he says. commit them to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So look at the heart of the Apostle Paul. Look at how central the intake of the Bible and hearing the Word of God and doing it was to his mind. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's coming toward the end of his life. And here's what he's thinking. Okay, I have sons in the ministry, Timothy, Titus, and others, right? This means yes, wake up, come on. Yes, he has sons in the ministry. But then notice what he says. He says, and you commit them to others. Okay, so now Paul says, Timothy, it's not enough that I have spiritual sons. I want spiritual grandsons and granddaughters. So you commit them, these words that I have tested to you in front of others, to them. And then Paul says, I don't only want spiritual sons and daughters and spiritual grandsons and granddaughters. Notice the next thing he says, who are apt to teach others. Timothy, in the gospel, I want great-grandchildren. So if the church is going to have great-grandchildren and not have the extinct in this generation, it is going to have to recover the spiritual discipline of Bible intake at a level that sadly we are not doing in the church today. We used to call this discipleship. And some of you older folks can remember discipleship training. Now we've got a new word. It's a word everybody loves to banter about now. We call it spiritual mentoring. Whether you call it discipleship or mentoring, whether you call it potato or potato, whatever it is a training, a disciplining of others in the Word of God. And it begins with hearing the Word. You're here this morning hearing the Word of God. Your ears are hearing sounds. But that's not all that it is. It's more than that. And I know that some of you are dealing with hindrances to hearing this morning. The first one that I see biblically that's a hindrance to actually hearing and doing the Word of God is simply you don't have the desire because you've never been converted. You've never been converted. You know, one of the things I'm going to tell you, I've never met anybody. There probably is. Someone's going to say, I know someone. I've never met anyone who didn't like chocolate. I mean, I never have a problem on Sunday mornings when I give out chocolate to kids. In fact, in our office, we put out candy on little trays. We put hard candy, and occasionally I'll buy bags of chocolate, and the ladies will put chocolate in those bowls. And guess what disappears on Sunday morning? Chocolate. Why? Because we have a taste for it. It seems like it's inherent within us. We like the way it tastes. But if I put out prunes, or if I put out, you know, hot peppers, now Kevin would like that. He was a hot pepper candy flavored. He liked that. You wouldn't so much enjoy that because you don't have a taste for it. It's the same with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. If you're not converted, there is no taste for the things of God. And you don't want to put yourself under the preaching of the Word of God. You want to do anything but that. And if you find yourself this morning in that role, you need to have your spiritual taste buds changed. And the only way that's changed is through the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the message of the sinless life, the sacrificial death, and the righteous resurrection to give eternal life to those who believe in him. And if you've never done that this morning, when we give the invitation, we invite you to have your spiritual taste buds changed so that you will want to hear the Word of God. But there's a second hindrance that I see often affecting God's people. It's this. We don't prepare our hearts. Oh, we prepare our heads, but we don't always prepare our hearts. We don't spend time with God and ask God to soften our hearts to receive what he has to share with us. We don't go to Sunday school having prayed for God to speak to us through the Word of God as we study it together. Our hearts are not prepared. We're prepared in other ways, but in the singular most important way, we are unprepared. As Blaise Pascal said, the heart has reasons the mind knows nothing of. And we desperately need to have our hearts softened so that when God speaks, it's fertile ground. If the parable of the soils teaches anything, it teaches us that the heart is a soil. And what type of soil the seed lands on determines what kind of crop exists. There's a third hindrance that I see afflicting God's people when it comes to hearing and doing the Word of God. We have the wrong attitudes toward the Word. Here's what we do. We come into the service. We come into the teaching moment. And what we do is we listen to decide what it is that we will obey, what we like. And so here's our attitude. I am the judge of the Word, not the Word being the judge over me. And anytime you put yourself in the role of judging the Word of God, as James says, at that point you have forgotten who you are. And so you come with the wrong attitude. And so that expressed itself in many different ways. Well, I didn't like what he said there. Do you know what? There are times when God asks me to say things I don't particularly like. I know you find that hard to believe. But there are times when I have to say things that I don't, you know, personally, I don't really, you know, feel comfortable with. But there is a sense in which I am very comfortable in that I want to be pleasing to God and that it's His Word. And as I tell people when I preach the Word, I say, if you don't like it, don't blame me. It's in the book. Your issue's not with me, it's with God. And who's the authority in your life? Are you the authority or is the Word of God? Are you willing to place yourself under the Word of God in order that you may hear and do that which the Lord commands? There's a fourth thing I see that afflicts God's people, that hinders them from hearing the Word of God, and it's this. And that is that we're unconvinced about the authority, the ability, and the adequacy of God's Word to transform us. This hindrance afflicts both preachers and pews. We want something more. So let's turn down the lights. Let's turn on the fog machines. Let's play the music. Let's have let's create ambiance in service. And then people will surely like hearing the Word of God when they're all relaxed. Let's put them on couches instead of pews. You know, let's get them relaxed. Let's have a gospel conversation. Hey, we don't want the authority in the pulpit. We want to just share it with one another. Kumbaya, you know. And preachers are desperate to get more people. So whatever we have to do to cater to people, there'll be more people in the pews to hear. Well, let me tell you something, beloved. I have one thing I want to give to you. It's the Word of God. It's all I want to give to you. Because I'm going to tell you something. What I told two young people in Ireland was this. I said, when I'm gone, you won't remember me very long. But that which you've heard from God will stay with you. And my greatest desire is that you would hear the Word of God and internalize it. And secondly, beloved, you don't need anything else for your spiritual life beyond the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Because if the Holy Spirit dwells within you and you are in the Word of God, listening to the Word of God, living the Word of God, you will neither be unfruitful nor unfaithful. But we're not convinced of that anymore. We want the next big spiritual thrill, whatever it is. Oh, yeah, I like hearing him preach, but I'd rather go where the music's better. It's more to my liking. I like churches with organs. I like churches without organs. I like preaching with drums. We argue about the strangest things. Here's something you may not believe, but it's true. Most preachers can preach heresy if people like the music. And you know how I know that? Because I see it on TV. Hearing the Word of God requires that we understand the Word of God is sufficient for all of our needs in Christ Jesus. I'm amazed sometimes. I said this the first service, and I don't have the problem with Sunday school, so I'm just going to keep going here. And it's this. You know, we are more high-tech than ever before. I'm amazed that whenever I say open your Bibles and teenagers pull out smartphones. In Ireland, we would do a Bible study, just pull out the phone and start doing this. And I'm thinking, my problem is I got a smartphone, but I'm a dumb operator, so I don't work with that too much. We have more technology to access more of the Word of God. We can go online and hear some of the greatest preachers who ever lived. And even with our high-tech capacity, we have a low-tech living, don't we? We're living lower than we've ever lived before. You know why? It's because we're not doing what we're hearing. We're not being obedient. And hearing and doing are hand in hand. Notice the next hindrance I see that's afflicting the church today is this. We have low expectations of God and of preaching. Sunday after Sunday, people come into the service and they have no expectation that they're going to hear from God. And they leave having had their expectations met. To come into the service, or to come into a Sunday school, to hear the Word of God, if God revealed His Word that we might know Him, we ought to have the expectation, beloved, that we don't enter into the service without the expectation that God is going to speak to me. He's going to say something in the preaching, in the teaching from the Word of God that's going to directly affect my life. If you don't have that expectation, then you come into the service with no expectations of God or the preacher. And some people say, here's what people say, well, if you were a better preacher, I'd have higher expectations. Guess what? You know what preachers say? If you were better at hearing, I'd preach better. It afflicts both of us. But I want us to understand that we should come into the worship service to hear the Word of God in Sunday school, expecting God to speak. It's His Word. And when we proclaim it, we should have that expectation that God will speak. Third, or last here, and that is this. We just have a low view of preaching in general. Preaching is boring. Let me say it this way. I love talking to teenagers, talking to them about preaching. I've only got a 30-second attention span, and you want me to listen for 30 minutes? It's amazing to me how someone can sit for hours glued to a sports thing on TV. There is no more boring game in the world to watch than golf. And there are people who watch golf on TV for hours. You know how I know that? Because I watch it for hours. I mean, there's no investment. But yet, we can't discipline ourselves to give our heart and mind to the preaching and teaching of the Word for more than 15 minutes or 15 seconds before we're talking about we want something else. I love what it says in the book of Ezra. Now, picture this. Ezra sat down on the platform and read the Word of God, and the people stood all day, as opposed to the preacher standing all day and you getting to sit in the pew. And it says when the people heard the Word of God, they wept. They wept because they were hearing God's Word. I was in Ireland with a team, and all of these great churches that had no people in it. Because as it turns out, all these state churches had decided in the late 1800s, early 1900s, that preaching wasn't all that important. There were other things more important. And proclaiming the Word of God wasn't all that important. So preachers all of a sudden no longer saw the Word of God as very important. And guess what? Once the preacher saw the Word of God as not very important, what happened to the pews? They decided the Word of God wasn't very important. And it turns out when the Word of God is not important, eventually the God of the Word is not important. And here's what happens. When the God of the Word and the Word of God is not important, it turns out people really don't want to go to church. So they start leaving. There's no reason for them to stay. And you know what's amazing to me? we went to a few churches and to hear the word of God. I want you to know, as a Baptist preacher, and by the way, I want to say this. I love being I love how you introduce me to your friends. This is my preacher. I love that. I think that's so cool that whatever faults, problems we may have as Southern Baptists, we haven't forgotten that God still honors the preaching of his word. And that Baptist pastors, our people see us as preachers. And on that Sunday night in a little Baptist church in Newcastle, a church whose membership is probably smaller than, well, not probably, is smaller than some of our Sunday school classes, a young man stood up and preached the word of God. And I felt at home because of my view of preaching. And God spoke through the preached word. We need to recover a sense of the fact that God has given us the word to be proclaimed. The next few weeks, you're going to hear a lot of illustrations from history, but let me just say this. Baptists were born by men and women of God who read the word of God, saw the Great Commission, and in spite of the laws of their land, began to preach. And many of them were put in jail, for here's their sin. They were put in jail for not getting permission from the parish priest to preach in the open air. John Bunyan spent years in jail for preaching, and he was told, if you'll just stop preaching in the open air, and then we'll let you go. And he said, the day you let me go, I will gather people together and preach as soon as I can. Do you realize what a privilege it is to not only proclaim the word of God, but to hear the word of God proclaimed? And until we understand that and recover that in our hearts, we're going to be hindered from hearing what God says because we become sermon tasters and theology testers rather than people who want to hear from God in order to live differently in a sinful and fallen world. Those are the hindrances. And there are many more that I see, but those prevail in our hearts and minds. So having diagnosed the problem, I'm going to try to be a good spiritual doctor and help you become a better hearer and doer of the word. For James 1:21 and 22 says this to us. And I'm going to get over here in a minute. I'm doing the Bible drill with you, so to have care. 1:21 and 22. Therefore, ridding ourselves of all moral filth and evil, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save you. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, and thus deceiving yourselves. J. Adams said, hearing the word is the dominant themes of both the Old and the New Testament. It is far more dominant than the commands to preach or proclaim the word. Why is it that hearing is seen as a greater responsibility? It's simply because it is easier for sinners to blame the preacher than to admit their own reluctance to listen and obey the word of God. It is easier to blame someone else for your spiritual failings than to acknowledge under the word of God that I am the guilty one. It is easier for David to get enraged about someone else's sin than when Nathan looks at him and says, you are the man. That's why the Bible puts a premium on hearing the word of God and hearing it and doing it. So I'm going to give you some helps that will help you become a better hearer. I tell the men who are going through this process with me, the first thing you should do is have a pen and paper in your hand. I don't know about you, but I want to tell you this story very quickly. But when I was in college and seminary, before I turned 30, not seminary now, there were two things that were true about me. I could remember every detail of every assignment I needed to complete and when it was due. Now, I would take it right up to the ninth hour and then ask Susan to type it, but I didn't know when it was due. And I could keep all that up in my head. Guess what? I can't do that anymore. I can't keep everything up here unscrambled unless I write it down. So I tell the guys that the most important part for moving from passive to active is writing down what God says to you from the Word. So you might want to write these down. The first one is this. These are farming metaphors. You have to cultivate an expectant life. You have to cultivate an expectant life. For some of us, that means we're going to have to change our basic process in life. We're going to have to change from being pessimists, from Eeyores. How many are spiritual Eeyores in this room? Come on. Don't raise your hand because I don't want to know. But some of you are just spiritual Eeyores. No matter what God does, you're going to find the dark cloud in the silver lining. That's just the way you are. You're going to need God to transform that. You're going to need to become spiritual Tiggers. You may not know exactly what God has shared with you, but you're happy God shared something. You got to cultivate an expectant life that God can speak to you, God will speak to you when you are in His Word and listening and speaking. That's why the psalmist in Psalm 119, as Kevin read this morning, the whole chapter is a cry to God to speak through His Word. And then the expectancy that God will. How many of you came this morning with an expectant life saying, yeah, God's going to speak to me today? You have to cultivate that. It doesn't happen overnight. Notice the second thing you have to do. You don't have to cultivate an expectant life, but you have to cultivate an open heart. If I see one more commercial about an open heart, if you have an open heart, something will come in from K Jewelers. It'll be one too many. I understand that. But there is truth there. When the heart is open to God and to His Word, then God is able to plant things in our lives otherwise we would not be able to do. Some of us have divided and distracted and distant hearts from God. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying that the cares of this world are distracting you. Your mind is divided. And you came not warm and hot for the things of God, but you came distant. You did come, thank God, but your heart is not beating with the warmth it once did. Sunday should be the overflow of a river that's had water running into it. When a river is full and flowing, it means that all the tributaries coming into it have water in them. But when there's drought in the tributaries, they dry up. And what happens to the water level in the river? It drops. And it's the same as true in our spiritual lives. When we've spent time with God and His Word Monday through Saturday, and the tributaries of our spiritual lives are flowing, then we come Sunday morning, our hearts are open, the river is flowing, and the Word of God is proclaimed, and God speaks, and we celebrate, and we joyously accept what it is that God wants from us in order that we may do it. Third, we have to cultivate a spirit of humility. James 4:6 reminds us that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Because of our sin nature, we don't come to the preaching or the hearing of the Word without baggage. All of us have spiritual bags. Sin affects all of us and every part of all of us. Our mind, our will, and our emotions are in need of redeeming day in and day out. We're always in need of repentance and seeking God's transformative power and acknowledging that apart from God's work within us, we cannot hear the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14 even reminds us that the natural man cannot even receive the things of the Word of God. So it is the privilege of the child of God to be able to hear the things of God. That's a gift from God by the Holy Spirit. But within us, there is a need for constant repentance and asking God to transform our lives and our hearts so that when we come to hear the Word of God, we are transformed by it. Fourthly, we have to cultivate a spirit of hearing it with other believers. You're here this morning with other believers, but are you here with them or are you just part of the crowd? There's a difference between a crowd and a fellowship. Fellowship is created by accountability. See, what should happen if you're with other people in fellowship, when you're through in Sunday school and God has spoken to you, you should have conversations that are of a spiritual nature. What has God done? What has God shared? And say to someone, you know, God spoke to me about this issue from His Word, and I want you to pray for me because I need to make some changes in my life. And then you pick up the phone, or sorry, that shows you my age. Then you get out your phone. And you call one another up, or even, here's even an older thing, or you take out your phone and you do this. Young people, know what that is? That's texting. Yes, thumbs my size. Whatever it is, you hold each other accountable with the truth that God has given you. And you have to cultivate that. We don't naturally like doing that, do we? We like talking about anything and everything. But the things of God. I can talk to someone at McDonald's about Ohio State football all day long. And they'll stand there and talk to me. But the moment I talk to them about Jesus, they go, oh, I got an appointment. Isn't it amazing? You have to cultivate that reality. Notice the next thing that we have to do. Not only have to cultivate a hearing with other believers in fellowship, but we have to understand that this idea of hearing the Word of God is a cumulative process. It accumulates over time. We put way too much emphasis on what God can do in one message and way too little on what He can do in 10. See, it's like the dripping of water on a stone. It's a cumulative process. Every time we get under the Word of God and hear it, and hear it, and hear it, it wears away the stone of our heart and softens us up. And we need to be under the Word of God whenever we can. I mean, in U.S. America, beloved, you can't go anywhere where there's not good preaching on the Word. You can't sit at your computer. You come in my office during the week, there'll be a sermon going in my computer in the background. That's just the way it is. And because I am hard of hearing, all the rest of the staff gets to hear the sermon that I am listening to on the internet. Amen. Especially Kevin. He's right next to me. But we have to make a commitment to place ourselves under the Word of God as much as possible so that as the process grows, we grow. Cultivate a habit of producing or practicing the truth that you hear. James says, don't just hear it, but do it. It's amazing if you do it, how it reinforces it. How many of you can watch, remember when you used to watch your brother, the youngest in my family, and by the way, if you're the youngest in your family, you are blessed. The youngsters in the family shall rule the world. But I used to watch my brothers tie their shoes and I would watch and watch and watch. And I never could do it until I started doing what? Mimicking what they were doing. They made this loop and the bunny went through the hole and, you know, the whole 9 yards. And all of a sudden, I could tie my own shoes. But you can watch someone else, or you can listen to someone else, or you can watch someone else take notes, and you can watch it until Jesus comes back. But until you start practicing it and doing it, you won't internalize it. What you practice transforms you. Also, cultivate a habit of praying for yourself and the preacher. You know what? I love my wife because she prays for me constantly. And I love when she talks to me and says, that's the greatest sermon you've ever preached. I love when she says that because that means she's been praying for me. Because you know it's not the greatest sermon I've ever preached. I can tell you one of the funniest things I've ever read. One of the greatest preachers of the 20th century was David Martin Lloyd Jones, Dr. Jones. And you have to hear this. This is a man that was world renowned. Preachers used to flock to London to hear him preach. He said of his own preaching that he can only remember two times when he really preached the sermon he wanted to preach, and one time he was asleep. I can relate to that. But when you're praying for your Sunday school teacher and God, give them a word that I can have, you're praying for the preacher, the one in the pulpit, God, give them a word so that I can live righteously before you. Give them a word. And then, God, open up my heart so that I may hear. It's amazing how prayer changes you. It always changes you. And finally, deal with your distractions. Just deal with your distractions. 2 Corinthians. There are a lot of distractions. There's two types of distractions you got to deal with, folks. I'm going to close with this. Some of you are smiling at me right now when I said that. There are two types of distractions. There are external distractions which you cannot deal with. You have no control over. You just have to say, those are just out there and I'm going to ignore them. Okay, you can't control the temperature where you're sitting this morning. That's an external distraction. One Sunday morning, I went out the door here, and Mother said to me, "said I'm so sorry, my baby was crying and distracting this morning." Looked at her and said, "Your baby was crying? Does that mean I'm deaf?" No, it means that I've just dealt with external distractions. I don't let external distractions in. But the second one's more difficult. It's your internal distractions. It's all the stuff you let in your mind and heart before you come in to hear the Word of God. It's some of you are wondering, when is the pot roast going to burn before you get home? That's an internal distraction. If it is, bring it to my house. We'll feed it to folks at supper tonight. Some of you are worried about all kinds of things. You remember what Jesus told Martha? You're worried about too many things. What Mary figured out was there's really only one thing that mattered. Doesn't mean the other things didn't need to take place, but she had the right perspective. What are your internal distractions this morning? The Apostle Paul in Corinthians told the Corinthians to take every thought captive. That you can do. And deal with those internal distractions when you come to hear the Word of God. And say, "Lord, I don't want anything inside that's going to keep me from hearing what you have to say to me this morning." For some of us this morning, that internal distraction is we've just been walking a guilty distance from God. We've been doing things our way so long that we find it difficult to do things God's way. We find it difficult to sit and hear a message because we're internally distracted by our distance from God. And during the invitation this morning, God's going to give you another opportunity to deal with that. Some of you might need to come and kneel at the altar and say, "Lord, there is a lot in my internal world, my private world that only you and the Holy Spirit know, that's distracting me and I can't hear from you like I want to. And I desperately need you to help me to order my internal world so that I can hear from you clearly." Some of you, as we said at the very beginning, your internal world is messed up. You're distracted because you're unconverted. You know the preacher, but you don't know Jesus. You know the church, but you don't know the master. You know all the religious answers. And if I were to give you that quiz, if God were to say to you, "Why should I let you in heaven?" You can give me the right answers, but you've never been converted. The distance for you between heaven and hell is about 18 inches between what you know up here and what you believe in here. And some of you this morning, that's the biggest internal distraction you face. And you're going to go another Sunday, and you're going to put on the church face, and you're going to leave here unconverted yet again. And I'm going to tell you what I told Kyle 2 weeks ago. God may give you 30 more years, but he doesn't have to give you 30 more seconds. Today, if you've heard his voice, deal with the distraction and come to Christ this morning. Maybe you're looking for a church home. A place where you can practice hearing the Word of God with other believers. We invite you to come and be a part of this fellowship. As our musicians are coming and we stand around the room, let us pray. Our Father and our God, there are so many good things that you have for us, but they all begin with being obedient. Your word tells us that if we've heard your voice, we ought not harden our hearts. Instead, we ought to open our heart and our lives to you. And Father, there are so many this morning who have not heard from you because of the distractions that are in their lives, the sin that so easily besets, that needs to be laid aside. Only you can do that. Only the power of your Spirit can overcome the power of our sin. Father, grant to these people the ability to hear the Word of God and the speaking of your Spirit and to do what you're asking them to do in these moments. Nothing more is necessary, but nothing less is acceptable either. In Jesus' name, as we sing.